Hare Krishna, and a welcome to everyone from wherever you've come for this wonderful weekend of Harinam. They asked me to warm everyone up this morning for a weekend. Are you warmed up already? Looking forward to it. Here's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that will help us to warm up. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This is the first canto, first chapter, 14th verse. Apana saṃsṛtim gauraṁ yannāma vivaso grinan tathā sadyo vimucceta yad bibheti svayam bhayam apana, being entangled. Samsritim, in the hurdle of birth and death. Gauraṁ, too complicated. Yat, what? Nāma, the absolute name. Vivaśa, unconsciously. Grinan, chanting. Tata, from that. Sadya, at once. Vimucceta, gets freedom. Yet, that which. Bibheti, fears. Svayam, personally. Bhayam, fear itself. Translation. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Please repeat. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Purport. Vasudev, or Lord Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. I like that. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others who were very powerful living entities were all killed by the personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudev has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him, and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is none different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. Apana samsritim gauram yannama vivasho grinan tata sadyo vimucheta yad bibheti svayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurim militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You know, wherever the glories of Krishna are spoken, there's a gathering of sages. This gathering of sages is at Namasharanya. This gathering of sages is in Radhadesh. Another gathering of sages was as Bhishma Dev was preparing to leave his body. He was going to speak some truths to Maharaj Yudhishthira in the company of Krishna. It was a great event. Prabhupada writes there that they had come. Sages had come. Thinkers had come. Brahmin realized saints had come. They'd come from Turkey, he said. They had come from Greece. They'd come from all over the world to be there as Bhishma Dev was leaving the body. Wherever something momentous is happening, there's a gathering of very, very intelligent people. And especially in Kali Yuga, those very, very intelligent people, Sumedasa, are the ones who serve the holy name of Sri Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a wonderful gathering that we have dedicated internationally, a weekend, to come together and chant the holy name of Krishna. This is history in the making. I've been here for a few days now, and I like to look around. If you do have any spare time, you can look around. The devotees have done a wonderful thing here in Radhadesh. It's a wonderful place where many young devotees from all over the world are coming to learn the most important things about Krishna consciousness. And hopefully to gain inspiration to take that out in a second wave. The ocean comes and it goes out. So the ocean has come and then everybody goes out to teach Krishna consciousness in their respective countries. So they have a very well-stocked library. Everything about Vaishnava philosophy and every philosophy that opposes Vaishnava philosophy, so they can learn how to deal with all opposing arguments. Prabhupada one time said he wanted that for Bombay, a library in Bombay. So here is a very nice library. So I saw on the shelf a publication, all the Harmonist magazines, that were put together by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the Sajjana Toshini magazine that was put together by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Our great acharyas are involved not only in relishing the holy names for themselves and becoming free from the hurdle of birth and death themselves, but they're involved in sharing it with others. So sometimes I think to myself, let me just take a book off the shelf and have a lucky dip, open it up to any page at all. And just the day before yesterday, I went and I just picked out one bound volume of Harmonist magazines and I opened it randomly. And you know what the verse was? It was Bhaktivinoda Thakura saying, oh, for that great day when the people of England and Russia and Germany will come together with drums and cymbals in the streets of their city and raise the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with hands raised say, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. So when will that day come? I thought it's just such a wonderful prophetic verse that he wrote. And he's really describing all of you who live in the different cities of Europe and different parts of the world. And we are really in this way, by coming together, making the prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, we shouldn't become proud thinking, ah, yes, I knew this day would come. I have been prophesied by the great acharyas. They have foretold my coming. He's speaking of the time when there is daily kirtans in all the cities of the world. We are the people who will make that happen by our utsahan and nishchayat and hariyat, by our patience and our enthusiasm and our dedication. We can also look forward to a future when Harinam is going on in the streets every day. It's a wonderful thing because Harinam really is, whether sitting or standing or walking or flying, Harinam is the only thing to be doing. The there's living entities who are entangled in the cycle of birth and death. To really take shelter of the holy name means you have to be situated in knowledge that you are actually entangled in the cycle of birth and death. That's very hard when you are young. Well, it's very hard when you're in Maya. It's actually impossible when you're in Maya. But at any age, it's difficult. Maharaj Yudhishthira says, you know, it is the most difficult thing, as you know, when he was being asked those questions by the Yaksha. He said, it's a very, very difficult thing. And it's difficult for devotees, too. I was passing by a shop window, and there was a big poster. And it said, if you're reading this poster, it was when I was much younger. It said, if you're reading this poster, the chances are that you're young, intelligent. Of course, that caught my eye. You see? These are very clever, these advertising people. You're young, you're intelligent, and you are married, you're a responsible citizen, etc. Like, a list of qualifications. And then underneath it said, it's also most likely that you are at the height of your illusion. And then it had a picture of Superman. And I thought, what an unusual poster. What a great poster for devotees. Goes through all the different qualifications of being young, intelligent, and, you know, having the great time of your life, but you're the highest point of your illusion. That's why you should take out an insurance policy with such and such, such and such. So it was an advertisement for insurance. But I thought it was very curious that they said that just when you don't think you need insurance, that's the time when you should take it out. And Maharaj Yudhishthira says how amazing it is that nobody ever thinks they need to overcome the cycle of birth and death, and they're preparing to live forever. One of the very sad things about this world is that we don't get each other's company for a very long time. It's wonderful to come together for these weekends, but sadly, one day we must all, before too long, depart each other's company. That's the way of the world, at least in this particular body. It's very, very short. Very, very short time. And you never know when that day will come. Prabhuji, he was telling me he was, Madhava was telling me he was in the airport the other day in Moscow. The plane had taken off, and 10 minutes later the bomb went off. You never know when that last moment will come. Could be any day. Therefore, we should always chant as if this was my last day. It's very helpful to do that. And I've had at least 2 opportunities in this life. I hope I only get 1 more to chant as if that day was my last. But that sort of chanting comes from the very roots of your boots. It doesn't come from the mind. It doesn't come from the throat. That sort of singing doesn't come from the lungs. But it comes from the innermost recesses of the core of your heart. And you say, Krishna, please, if this is it, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So living entities who chant like that can be freed from the cycle of birth and death. And it's interesting that the Bhagavatam begins and ends with the same reflection. No sooner have the sages started to question Suta Goswami than they make a declaration. They're asking him, please tell us something about Krishna, because, you know, you know everything and we know nothing, and it seems that, you know, you're a senior person. You please tell us about Krishna. But at the same time they say, and the reason we want you to tell us about Krishna is because just the name of Krishna can free living beings from the cycle of birth and death. And then we go right 18,000 verses later, right to the very end of the Bhagavatam, and we have Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, 12th canto, 13th chapter, 23rd verse. Just as the Bhagavatam is coming to a conclusion. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, Pranamo Dukkha Samanas, Tam Namami Harim Param. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. That's what this weekend is about. By coming here to Radhadesh for this weekend, and by chanting as if our life depended on it, we escape the cycle of birth and death. We destroy sinful reactions to anything we may have done. And by offering obeisances to Lord Krishna in the form of his holy name, we relieve ourselves from all material suffering. What a wonderful thing. And it is, I just count myself as being very, very lucky that one evening when I was 16, I'd gone to a pop festival to see Chuck Berry. If you don't know Chuck Berry, that's okay. But it was at a pop festival. He's like the father of rock and roll. He's the guru of, you know, he's the acharya of Roll Over Beethoven. And so I'd been to see him, and the concert had just finished, and it was pouring with rain, as British pop festivals normally do. And it was midnight, and we were making our way out, and the mud was thick on the ground, as British pop festivals must have it. And as I got closer to the gate of this enclosure, I heard this strange sound above the chatter of other people's voices. I thought, what's that? And I saw a group of people, four people, dancing in the mud. And as I got closer, they were all shaved heads and orange robes, which even at midnight were glowing. And they were ankle deep in mud. And they were banging this drum and singing and going around in a circle. And I thought, what an unusual thing to be doing at midnight. But I was absolutely captivated. I didn't know who they were, what they were, what they were doing, or what they were singing. But I just stood rooted to the spot. Curiosity, fascination. But also, and I hope I don't sound too proud, just this feeling that I should be listening to this. You know that feeling? So Rasamandala was telling me about his first kirtan. Rasamandala, he's one of the, you know, helps to do the theological courses here. He was telling me that his first kirtan was in Bath. Not in the Bath, but a city in England called Bath. And he saw the devotees and he felt this curious sensation that I'm watching them, but actually I should be with them. But actually I can't join them because I'm British. And they're not doing a very British thing. Firstly, the way they're dressed. Second, the markings on their noses. Thirdly, that haircut, which, let me tell you, it's okay now to shave your head. It's pretty cool. But in the 1970s, you know, unless you had hair to here and a Mexican mustache, really you didn't quite fit in. So that's what he had. And you can see Rasamandala in the background as Prabhupada is installing Radha Gokulananda. He still has his long hair and his Mexican mustache. Actually, someone painted a picture of that photograph, so now Rasamandala is installed on the ceiling of Villa Vrindavan with his long hair and his mustache. He goes down in history, that man. So he was telling me that he had this emotional conflict. I really want to break free from watching these people to join in, but I don't want to appear foolish or mad or stupid. So he wanted to go, but he wanted to leave because he couldn't deal with the feelings. And these emotions overwhelmed him. And he felt close to tears because he didn't know what to do next. He did not know what to do next. Shall I get in to the kirtan, or should I just walk away? I can't walk away because I really want to listen to it. I can't go and join them, which is what I want to do because I'm British and we don't do that sort of thing in the middle of the town square. So It was a, you know, I think everybody, does everybody remember their first kirtan? The first kirtan is very important because that's really the time when Krishna reaches out to us and says, here I am. And you know what you have to do in this life. You have to come back to me. This life is a very special life for you, my child. You have to come back to me this time. Now there's no time to waste. Not this life. Last life, the other lives, but not this life. I was 11, and there was some girls in my school, and they were giggling. And I said, why are you giggling? And they said, because we're going to do something secret. Girls are always giggling and doing secret things, so boys are always interested. So I said, can I come? I was that type of boy. So they said, no, it's our secret. I said, well, I'm going to get the secret out of you afterwards. And then they slammed the door in my face. So 15 minutes later, break time was over. And I said, so what have you been doing? They said, we can't tell you. It's our secret. It's a very special secret just for us. I said, oh, go on. I'm your friend. So this is, you know, I'm 11. It's sort of 1960-something, 1970 or something. Anyway, so they said we were chanting. I said, chanting? What's that? Fatal words. They said, we were chanting Hare Krishna. I said, what's that? They said, it's a secret sound. And if you keep chanting it, it's like drugs. I said, really? They said, yes. They said, it's not drugs, but it's like drugs. It's like taking drugs. And I said, well, how does it go? And they said, all three girls said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I said, well, did it work? And they said, no. We really tried. We closed our eyes and we really concentrated, but it didn't work. But we're going to have another go tomorrow. So then I thought, I must try that. And then I met another friend who had tried it. And the reason why everybody thought it was drugs, you see, just like drugs, because we were too young for drugs. But we wondered what it would be like to take drugs. So the Hare Krishna mantra was our way of experimenting with drugs. So it was on the record, a little piece of paper. It said, warning. Warning. When chanted repeatedly, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can lead to states of ecstasy. Use carefully. Or words to that effect. So I later found out that the devotees who I'd met on that evening in the pop festival, one of whom was Tribhuvanath. And of course, anybody who knows Tribhuvanath knows someone who fully gave himself to kirtan. He let the Maha Mantra, it was almost like he was possessed by the Maha Mantra. He lost his mind. Whatever was happening with his body or his mind or his hands or the blood on his hands, whatever was happening to the Mridanga, it was just the Maha Mantra that took him. We are the Hare Krishna movement. Really, we don't have a great deal. Our prasadam is nice. Our philosophy is intellectually satisfying. It's great philosophy. You can go as deep as you want with the philosophy. Our culture is wonderful and heartwarming, emotionally satisfying. Our deity worship is the most gorgeous manifestation for the eyes. There is a Catholic church, in France, and Jesus is now wearing outfits that are made in Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan. Because the priest came and saw the deities and he said, I want that for Jesus. Krishna has the best wardrobe. And Krishna has the best name, of course. Name of Krishna, you can't get anything better than more attractive. So the Bhagavatam says that those people who are most intelligent, they will chant the holy name and they'll do it congregationally. Sankirtana, Samyak Kirtan, together Kirtan. Why? Because God himself in Kali Yuga, he comes together with his group. And we worship God not as one, but as five. That's how God chooses to come. So that they're all dancing, singing together. And that's really like a template. And Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, you can go back to Godhead with just two things. That's all you need. He said, the holy name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, and a picture of Panchatattva. He said, just these two things. He said, you can sit under a tree or at the side of the road and become God conscious and go back to the eternal spiritual world with just these two things, nothing more. That's all you need. He said, but for everybody else, we have big buildings and so many wonderful things. So Panchatattva is Krishna coming, demonstrating to us the pattern for worshipping Krishna in Kali Yuga. We sit together, stand together, dance together, and chant the Maha Mantra. And really, you know, we have a very special opportunity with Kirtan as opposed to Japa. It's a very special opportunity today to be able to rise above the mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that. He says that we have the Maha Mantra, but when the Maha Mantra is done with musical instruments, he said you shouldn't get caught up in the musical instruments themselves. He said, it is not music. He said, but rather it is like when you have two metals, one piece of metal and another piece of metal, and you want to join them together with heat. He said, heat alone is not enough to join those two metals together. You need a flux. A flux is a type of chemical compound that you paint on the metals, and when you heat them, then they stick together, because the flux is the catalyst. He said, so when you have the mridanga and the kartals and the musical melodies, he said, that is the flux that brings together the two elements, the holy name of Krishna and the ear. So the kirtan actually helps the holy name and the ear to stick together for hours and hours and hours, as we will experience today. Really, Prabhupada was very happy when, the Hare Krishna movement. I always meditate on Prabhupada's great determination. The enduring image is Prabhupada standing under that tree, sitting under the tree in Tompkins Square Park and chanting. And Prabhupada came, you know, with the Bhagavatams and the holy name and huge determination. And really it doesn't make sense. Prabhupada's success doesn't make sense. The Hare Krishna mantra doesn't make sense. Not really. It's three words. Just three words. And we have the most intelligent people, coming together to chant these three words for an entire lifetime. It shouldn't make sense. We have where is she? Chidi Shakti here? Top psychiatrist from London. You see? If you ask a psychiatrist, what would you say about a person that just sits down and the whole weekend they just sing three words repeatedly in different combinations? What would a psychiatrist think of that? Well, I tell you what that particular top London psychiatrist would say is what she did say, because she's here and she said, let me have some of that. But recently, she took me to a gathering of psychiatrists. Now, it's nervous sitting up here trying to give any kind of class before this august assembly, but it's a little nerve-inducing to stand there in a dhoti and kurta and tilak in front of 80 psychiatrists and explain the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But But I was there because they had asked me to be there. They'd asked me to be there because they want to know how spiritual techniques can help mental health. Because they're desperate for any possible help they can get to help patients. Especially patients who may have a tendency towards spirituality. It's big news, everybody, out there on the psychiatric frontier. Spirituality and mental health is big news. Everybody's talking about it. I didn't know until I went, but they really want to know what it is about mantra meditation that actually works. And of course, big news is that Kali Yuga is rapidly progressing. And the World Health Organization has said that the big thing of the 21st century, the big problem for humanity in the 21st century, is not malaria, it's not polio, it's not smallpox, and it's not the plague. It's mental health. Mental health. Loneliness, depression, anxiety, and fear. Well, we could have told them that 5,000 years ago. It's Kali Yuga. Is there anyone here who's not anxious about their life in some way? Even as devotees, we have that anxiety. That anxiety doesn't leave us alone. What about my future? What about my partner? What about my children? What about my job? What about my career? What about my relationship with my guru, with my Vaishnavas? What about my relationship with Krishna? How am I really going to develop that? You know, Ramanujacharya, one of our great Vaishnava acharyas, he said that there's some qualities of Krishna that make him Krishna. And we know those. He's the supreme beautiful, he's the supreme intelligent, he's the most famous, he's the oldest of all, he's the origin of all, etc., etc., etc. And that's very nice. That's very nice to establish philosophically the existence of God. But for a devotee of Krishna, Ramanujacharya says, there's different qualities that endear Krishna to us and endear the devotees of Krishna to him. And he said, if you meditate on these qualities, and I'll tell you why. He says, first of all, we meditate on the quality of Krishna as solabhya. Solabhya means that although Krishna is God, he has made himself accessible. He's made himself accessible. This is the most amazing thing. That he is the supreme personality of Godhead, the origin of all, the most powerful, but he makes himself accessible, not just to humanity, but to me and you individually. And that's an incredible thing. It took Prabhupada to explain to me a question that I had for many, many years before coming to Srila Prabhupada, and that was, how is it that God can relate to all of us at the same time? How is it that God can hear every single individual all over the world at the same time without becoming confused? That is Krishna. So this weekend, it's not just that you're in a room with, you know, 100, 200, 300, maybe 400 people, and that 400 people are chanting Hare Krishna, and that Krishna is with 400 people. That's very important to us, but because each of us helps the other to chant. It's not only the musical melodies, it's not only the leader of the kirtan, but it's each and every devotee. Each and every one of you is important for each and every one of us. Because when we open our eyes from chanting and we see your faces absorbed in the chanting of the Maha Mantra, that takes us to a higher level. So each and every devotee here this weekend is very important. But more important is that this weekend gives us an opportunity to relate to Krishna directly. Krishna has brought us here. We sometimes think, I chose to come here. But Krishna has brought us here for something special. To restore our lost relationship with us, with him. And to overcome whatever fear, whatever problem, whatever anxiety we may currently be going through, and to really transcend. So Ramanujacharya says Krishna makes himself accessible. accessible. It's very intimate. He says Krishna is Saushilyam. He's the bestower of grace. That no matter who you are, no matter how you are, no matter what you're going through, Krishna loves you and gives you grace. And that's a wonderful thought. And I need that in my life. And if you need that in your life, that's what this weekend will do, that Krishna's grace is available. Vatsalya. Vatsalya means the mother cow and her affection for her mother calf. And it means more. It means when the baby cow is born, when the calf is born, she's covered by a thin membrane and blood and bits of the mother. Okay. And the mother cow loves her child so much that she licks her calf all over until the cow is cleaned. So Ramanujacharya says, this is Krishna. We're born in this world and we're covered with the membrane of all our past lives. And Krishna, as the Vatsalya, is licking us clean. Licking us clean of all our previous samskaras, all our previous memories, all our previous problems. Then he says, Krishna is ever karunya. He's ever karunya, ever compassionate. Then he says he's ever odarya. Odarya means he's generous. Even when you think you've been given something by Krishna, he's always eager to give you more. So even when you're in the kirtan and you think it cannot get better than this, this is wonderful. Being here with these devotees, this melody, this amount of time, I've really transcended in my mind, this is wonderful. Now I'm enjoying the kirtan. Of course, please don't think that, because as soon as you start thinking, I'm enjoying the kirtan, that's when it seems to stop, isn't it? No, when you start enjoying the kirtan, that's the time to say, Krishna, please don't let me enjoy this kirtan yet. We have to pray like Daruka. Daruka was shedding tears of love because he was fanning Krishna. He loved Krishna so much. And he knew that Krishna loved him. But he said, the tears are just, my dear Lord Krishna, you're in my heart. Please stop the tears coming as I fan you, because they're just getting in the way of me fanning you. And I just want to carry on doing service. So the kirtan is the service, service to Krishna. And it means, Krishna, engage me on your devotional service. Krishna, whatever I am, I offer that to you. Whatever I will be, I offer that to you. And please help me. And please help me to serve all the Vaishnavas with whom I'm gathered today. And then Ramanujacharya says, finally, Krishna, through this process and our process of surrendering to him, making our sharanagati to him, by understanding how much he loves us, he says Krishna becomes bandhutva. Bandhutva means as close as family, as close as a family relative. And in just recently, the devotees were, of course, on pilgrimage in South India, and the modern day followers of Ramanujacharya came to the devotees and made presentation after presentation about how all the things that Ramanujacharya said about the Supreme Lord are available through the Lord in his most merciful form, in the form of his name. You know, and it's important that we understand that, you know, nama, namino, nama chaitanya, nama chintamani, Krishna's chaitanya rasa vigraha, that we understand that Krishna and his name are non-different. And we have to really transcend the mind in order to understand that, you see. And that's what kirtan will do. You transcend the mind, which says, I'm chanting kirtan, and Krishna is over there. You see, and we long for the day when that duality disappears. And it's just kirtan. And the kirtan is Krishna, and Krishna is the kirtan. And the mind has disappeared, and it's just the holy name. And that's the wonderful space that we aim for. But it takes work. It takes work. And I will say, for a weekend like this, Let us not give up. We try again to climb above any thoughts we might have and to come into that sacred space. So our relationship with Krishna is our relationship with the holy name of Krishna. That's our relationship with Krishna. There's not some future state. And in this mood of reaching out to Krishna, calling out to Krishna in desperation, Prabhupada says, this is the way to chant japa, chant kirtan, like a lost child for her mother, like a lost child. Knows nothing else but just calling out. And we pray for the Lord's blessings this weekend, and we pray that he give us a glimpse of himself through the grace and the accessibility and the generosity and the compassion and the motherly affection that he gives us through his holy name. We pray to the acharyas that day will come when we can from here go to our respective homes and take kirtan and make it resound in the streets of our respective countries. And we glorify Srila Prabhupada for having the courage, the bravery, the tenacity, the determination to come and to give us kirtan in the very beginning. Who would know that from one person with kartels and sometimes a bongo drum, who would know that so many kirtaniers would come? But our movement will become very, very famous. Very, very famous. The acharyas have predicted, and we have a choice to take part in history as history unfolds. The other sampradayas are also saying it, actually. Other sampradayas are saying, actually, these Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, they've understood. Because we found in our scriptures, you know, different sampradayas are saying, actually it's in our scriptures too, the age of Kali, it's just the holy name. And sometimes they say, but Bhaktivedanta Swami, he had true faith. He had the true faith. Who would know that he could take it to a group of, you know, Europeans and Americans and Westerners and reach such success? But now it is a reality. And there's more to come. It just gets better. So if today you think it can't get better than this, it will. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. I think we're going to go straight into the next section. Okay. Is there breakfast? We have breakfast. Okay. So now breakfast with enthusiasm. Hare Krishna.